Thank you, Sandra. I love it when my wife does announcements and I can just look at her. She does that. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate that. Flip that baby around, would you? There we go. We'll figure this out. Great. All right. Thank you. Well, as you can tell, I'm moving around a little bit better now. Feels good. Feels good to be a little bit mobile. My goodness. This week, my back kind of loosened up a little bit. I'm still going to sit just to not press it too much, but it is great to move around. It's nice. Hey, after church today, stick around. The young people are going to put together a barbecue for us, donation basis, and let's fellowship. We need time together. That would be a really good time to say amen, Pastor. We need some time together. We do. We've been a year and a half apart, and we need some time. And it's, you know, we're still trying to get in the flow, being back together again. I know that many of our people are still online, but stick around. Let's hang out. Let's eat some food and just be together. Enjoy God's family. Also, we've been going through Romans, as you know. This is the fifth Sunday, I think. And most of you have heard of this outreach tool called the Romans Road. Okay, it's called that because you can lead someone to Christ just using scriptures right out of Romans. And these little brochures called the Romans Road are at the Welcome Center. So grab a couple of these if you like. If you want to take more than a couple, do that. But use them. Use them to share with people, to guide someone to Christ. And memorize the scriptures inside. It'll be helpful for you to do that. So grab one of those as well. Realize I've got myself wired up in many places. And I'm getting like echoing in my own head. I only want to hear myself once. I don't need to hear myself twice. Thank you, Claudia. All right, get your Bibles out, okay? Or get your devices, however you look at the scripture, and turn to Romans 4. Okay, Romans 4 is where we are today. And this part of our series, Unashamed, is we are saved by grace through faith. I so appreciate the worship time today, especially Nothing But the Blood. There are many verses there that really, I'm not sure if the songwriter looked at my notes or if I cheated off of him. Since it's the song that's probably about 100 and something years old, I probably cheated. But it's nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's not our work. It's not any do's and don'ts. It's not some abundant life regulations. It's not some Christian regulations. It's Jesus. That's it. It's our faith in him. And when we get into this, you're going to see clearly how Paul begins to help the people in Rome, help the church in Rome discover that it's just Jesus. Whether they're Jews, whether they're Gentiles, it's just Jesus. It doesn't matter which one of those you are. Jesus strips away all that stuff and he brings us together into one family. The key verse there is verse 16. I want to read that with you. On the screen it's there, so read it with me, all right? Let me hear your voices. Therefore, the promise comes by faith so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all of Abraham's offspring. Not only those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. Do you realize Abraham's your father? Well, he is. You don't have to be a Jew for him to be your father. He's your father because he believed Christ by faith. Therefore, all who believe Christ by faith are, in spiritual sense, descendants of Abraham. And that's what Paul's trying to get across here. For a quick review, in chapter 1, remember, we got our theme verse for the summer. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. That's a brilliant verse, and none of us should be ashamed. When we walk through that, though, Paul immediately went to teach us about people who deny God. They look around at the beauty of his creation, at us. I just look at you and think, God has to be, because we are brilliant creations, so intricate, so well designed. But there are those who will say, nope, accidental. Nope, happened just out of some primordial soup and some zap of electronic something or other made this thing come alive. And they deny God. And because they deny God, they become futile in their thinking. Because they're futile in their thinking, they begin to devise and practice all kinds of deviant things. And God says, okay, knock yourself out. If you're going to wander like that and be so just full of self and sin, I'm going to let you go. What sad words when God says, go ahead and you'll see how miserable it is. Well, then there are those people that said, yeah, those people over there, they deny God. Those people don't believe. Those people should be like us. And chapter 2 goes, wait a minute, time out. Those of you that are thinking that way, you got problems too. Because you're hypocritical. You're the one saying, oh, aren't we better than them? And Paul says, no, none of us are better than anybody else. That we practice some of the same things, whether it be actual or maybe in our minds. Jesus pulled the covers in Matthew chapter 5 when he said, you don't have to be committing adultery, just think about it. You don't have to murder anybody, just think like you'd like to, or think angry toward your brother. And he puts us then all in the same boat, chapter 3, as Pastor Jim taught last week. Chapter 3 levels the playing field, saying all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, not even one. So from there, then, we shift into chapter 4. And chapter 4 really is a continuation of the end of chapter 3. Remember, take out the verse and chapter numbers, okay? Paul wasn't writing this letter to the church in Rome and saying, okay, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. No, he's just rolling. And as he's rolling, the thoughts are coming, and they flow consecutively in his logical presentation. And in that presentation, Paul says in verse 27 and 31, he says this, of chapter 3, says, where then is your boasting? It is excluded because of what? Because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires what? Faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. So that is the last statement. And he says, okay, now let me illustrate. Okay, see, Paul's a good teacher. And he knows that any theological principle needs to be illustrated. You got to tell a story. You got to show a person so that people will understand what he was just trying to say. And he does that in chapter 4 with Father Abraham. Abraham being the greatest Jew of all the Jews. He's the guy. He's the founder. He's the one who started it all. He's the one who God called and he agreed. And by faith, he started to walk with God. And then the promise to be a great nation was his. And all of the things start to flow out of Abraham. And Paul contends that Abraham was not chosen because he was righteous. And Paul says he was credited with righteousness because he had faith in the God who chose him. See, we got to get this order right. Every other faith, every other religious tradition in the world says, you got to be good, boys and girls. You got to do it right. You got to do all this stuff. You got to measure up, and then God will be happy with you. Christianity flips that on its head and says, God already loves you. God already desires you. God already wants to call you and use you. And those who respond to him by faith, then he credits them with righteousness. That's why we're so unique. And I'm not saying that we're so unique that we can boast, because Paul just said that. Who can boast? I can't boast. You can't boast. Who amongst you can say, well, it's because I'm so good looking, because I'm so talented, because I'm so smart, because I'm so, you know, intuitive, because I'm so clever? No, we're all unrighteous. All of us. It's those who by faith simply say, God, I want more of you. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul. God, no place I'd rather be but with you. Those people who God has opened their eyes, they say, I want you, God. He says, ah, you understand. And he credits us with righteousness. So there's a progression that I want us to understand. And I'm going to build a little bit today on what's to come. But there's a progression and some words that we need to know that start getting used a lot. And they're Christian-easy words, okay? And if we don't understand them, we won't quite grasp the whole concept. The progression of salvation is powerful. And we're going to see, we saw part of that last week, and we'll see a lot of it going forward. And that is that when you accept Jesus by faith, you are saved. The word that Paul uses a lot is justified. And I'll get into that word a little more in just a moment. Romans 10:10 says this, For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. That's done deal. How many are saved this morning? Okay, it's a done deal. Okay? No need to walk on eggshells. No need to worry that at any moment you're going to slip and God's going, oh, I'm done with you now. Open the gates of hell. Away with you. No, you are saved. You are justified. That's a finished product. Okay? But how many feel totally righteous and perfect this morning? Okay, I don't see any hands, and I better put mine down. How many know that we all mess up and are failures so much? Okay, everybody get your hands up. Okay, because that's the truth right there. So we are being saved. Okay, it's a continual process. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The Christian easy word there is sanctified. And we'll see that a lot in the next 2 weeks. That progression and that process. Not one of us is perfect. Sanctification changes every day. Don't you have good days and bad days? Don't you have like really good Jesus days and then like really not good Jesus days? Days when you're like, you know, obeying the speed limit, not biting your wife's head off, not being critical of your husband, obeying everything your parents say. And it's like, oh God, I feel so close to you right now. And then the next day, you're just like messed up. And you go, what's my problem? What's the deal with this seesaw? Paul will get to that. That's chapter 7. It's a process. Remember, don't forget step 1. You are saved. But we are being saved. You follow me? God declares it, and now we're working it out with him. And then we will be saved. Romans 13:11 says this, and do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer than we first believed. Wait, whoa, 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 what? I thought you said I was saved. This says your salvation is nearer. He's talking about the ultimate eternal, we will be saved. When we get out of this body, we get out of this world, we reach heaven, there's no more sin, no more pain, no more disease, no more back ailments, no more nothing like that. It's we are saved in the ultimate sense. So you get this? We are saved, we will be saved. I mean, we are becoming saved and we will be saved. And it's all continuous at one time. You get that? Okay, you with me? The lights are kind of bright. I can't see your... Are you with me? Okay, good. All right, let's get some important terms now. Let's go back to justified. Okay, justified. This is an important word because it will come up a lot. This is a legal declaration of righteousness. Okay, a legal declaration. All right, when you confessed your faith in Jesus Christ, you were declared legal or righteous legally by the judge. Who's the judge? God's the judge. Based on Jesus' work, God the judge says, you're righteous. Let me go to the white flip chart back and I'll show you. Okay? There's righteousness is up going this way. Our unrighteousness is here. And if your birthday is down here at the bottom, you just kind of cruise along this bottom until somehow you meet Jesus. And hopefully it's earlier than later, because there is no one righteous. Okay? We're in unrighteousness totally. But let's just say at some point for me, it was 15 years old. So I got started pretty early. Actually, it was before that, but when I understood it. At that moment, we'll call that the world happened to my pen. There we go. At that moment of accepting Christ, and I know that's little, God said this. He said, boom, you're righteous. Completely righteous. So now, for me, ever since I was 15, God has said, you've been righteous this whole time until I reach there and I will finally see him in all his fullness. But here's the deal. My life actually looks like this. Until I die and then they meet together. How many's life looks like that? Good days, bad days. Sometimes you do it right. Some days you do it wrong. Some days you get it, some days you don't, some days, and we don't want to do that. Okay, it's not like God is saying, oh yeah, just kind of, it's okay if you mess around a little bit. It's okay if you fudge here and you fudge there. No, he didn't die for that. He died for us to progress. But he declared me righteous here. What that does is it takes away all of my insecurity. It takes away all of my fear. It takes away the thinking of, if I mess up just one little time, bam, here comes the God hammer. We're declared righteous. That's got to be good news to us, amen? That's got to be. His righteousness has been credited to us. Now, that all happens by faith, not by works, not by law. We're going to get into that in a minute. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we don't see. And for all you Bible scholars, where did I just quote that from? Hebrews, Hebrews 1, Hebrews 1 through 3, right? The great definition of faith and then the hall of faith that follows. That being sure of what we hope for, that word sure means a foundation upon which you can build everything else. Our hope is sure. Folks, we're going to get here by faith. It's going to happen. Even when I'm down in these troughs of just being me. When I'm blowing it, when I'm just thinking, oh God, what is my problem? I don't do what I want to do. I do what I don't want to do. God, and I fall on my face and I repent and I start back up again, but then the cycle. No, by faith, I'm going to reach here, and that's sure. That's the foundation that I live on. And it's certain of what we do not see. I don't see this. I don't even see justification in my life all the time. I don't see that, but by faith, I'm certain. The word certain is both a scientific word and a legal word. Certain means it's your faith can be cross-examined and proven to be true. It's also a scientific term that says you can take it to a laboratory and experiment and it will come out to be true. You don't have blind faith. Oh, I just hope so. I don't know. No, your faith is sure and your faith is certain. And we believe that because of what Jesus has done in our life. And anybody who's lived with Jesus at any length of time, you've already had opportunity for God to validate your sureness and your certainty in him. I know I have. Since I got saved, Jesus has proven himself over and over and over and over again. He's the God who's sure. And all this is by grace now. Grace, Jim talked a lot about this last week. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. Not my expense. I didn't die for me. Jesus died for me. And then he said, and I give you all of my riches. You are an heir now to the kingdom of God, not because of what you did, but because of what he did on the cross. So by grace through faith, then, we are credited with his righteousness, the last word. And this comes up a lot. You might see in your Bibles, reckoned or imputed or counted or credited. It's all the same Greek word. And the word credited is an accounting term. You know, debits and credits, right? That it's used 11 times just in chapter 4. And many more times in the rest of the scripture. Jesus's righteousness has been now credited to my account. I got one amen. Thank you. My wife is into this morning. Come on. Wouldn't it be awesome if you went to your bank, and as you went to your bank, Warren Buffett's account was credited to your account? How many would like that? Bring it. Oh, that'd be awesome. Put those billions in my account, Warren. Well, we got something better than that. Jesus' righteousness has been credited to our account. And here's it gets even better. In your life, there's a lot of debits. That's your sin. There's a lot of debits. Your debits were credited to Jesus, and he killed them on the cross. That's how this works. He took all of our debits, put them on the cross. Jesus took them, becoming sin in our place. He crucified them, put them to death, but he took his credits then, put them in our account. So aren't we something? Yeah. But we're not, because we have no room to boast, because it's Jesus. It's all Jesus. And we get him simply by faith. That's it. It's that simple. So we got to have all these words as we go through. Now let's get into the text. Now don't worry. That wasn't the introduction. Okay? For those of you who are looking at your clock going, are you kidding me? We're here. We're never going to get a barbecue.
Let's look at Abraham and let's find out how Paul then illustrates, okay? The story of Abraham. You can find his story in Genesis 12 to 24, and it's summarized briefly in Hebrews 11, 8 to 19. So both of them tell the story. And there are three pivotal moments of faith in Abraham's life. And they built on each other. First, he was back home in what is now, you know, around and about, like between the border of Iraq and Iran, somewhere in that area. And God says to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to go and I'll tell you where to go. Well, where am I going? Don't worry about that. Just go. Now think about Abraham on that first morning. Should I go east? Should I go west? Should I go north? Should I go south? And his family and all their stuff is already packed up. The gear is already in there. The food's in the cooler. The tent's packed up. They're all in the Suburban and they're ready to go. And it's like, where are we going? He didn't know. He didn't know where he was going. Think how you would feel driving out of your driveway. Okay, first T in the road, left to right. I don't know. God, I'm trusting you now. You better tell me which way to turn. And God did. And God led him to the land of promise that is now Israel, the promised land. And that faith was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham believed God. And God then gave him a promise, says, because of your faith, you're going to be the father of many nations. Second pivotal event was Abraham got old. And God said he's going to be a father of many nations. But poor Sarah, his wife, couldn't have babies. How's that going to work? God always does stuff through people who can't have babies. You notice how many times barren women have babies? Or at least when the Messiah comes around, a lady who could have babies, but since she hadn't been with a man, can't have babies. And God seems to do that a lot. And they get to be 90 in Sarah's case and 100 in Abraham's case. Now, God told them before they were going to have a baby, a son. So they figured, well, God, I think you probably are going to do it this way over here. Now, Abraham didn't deny the promise. He just had a little problem with God's processes. And, of course, he messed up with Hagar. Ishmael was born, and there's been chaos ever since. But he gets to be 100, and Sarah is 90, and they have a baby. The scripture says both in Romans 4 and Hebrews 11 that they were as good as dead. They knew they were as good as dead. They knew this was impossible. Yet he had faith. And Sarah bore a son in her old age, Isaac. And then Isaac grows a little bit older and the third pivotal moment happens. And God says to Abraham, Abraham, sacrifice the boy. He's probably in his teens, maybe early 20s at this point. So he's got enough age that he can say, Dad, I'm thinking no. But yet he goes with his dad to the mountain, Mount Moriah, which, by the way, is the same spot where Jesus would die on the cross some thousands of years later. And God saved a son of Abraham to create a nation. And then God did not save a son, but Jesus died on that spot. But he rose again so we can be the people, Abraham's descendants. So those are three really pivotal moments. Now they all happen in our outline of three bullet points here. Not by works, not by law, and not by human effort. First of all, not by works. This is verse 1 through 8. For the sake of time, you're going to have to read it. Okay, you read it through. You become familiar with verses 1 through 8. But the key verse there for me as I'm teaching is verse 5. And verse 5 says, to the man who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. Okay, here's those words again. Remember the words. Okay, the basic thought of the Jews was that a person has to obey, and then God will show you his favor. The basic thought of Christianity is God has shown us his favor, therefore we obey. Completely different, completely upside down. Abraham entered this relationship with God not because he did stuff, but because he believed stuff. He believed God. And then his doing followed his belief, not the other way around. In my late 80s, Am I thinking it's about time to have a kid, and I wait till I'm 100, I still haven't have a kid yet? And I believe. That's what Abraham did. I believe for the impossible. I believe that what God has done for me is true. I believe that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven and see him face to face. I believe that God will keep me from this day until that moment. I believe that God is going to finish the work he's done in me. I believe that he will never leave me or forsake me. I believe that he will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I believe that he is the champion and that I am more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. I believe that. Therefore, I behave. It's believe, then behave. And that's how it works. Others are behave, then hopefully God will say, you're okay with me. When a person works, that scripture, that portion I didn't read says, when a person works, the boss is obligated to give them a paycheck. But when the person does not work, but still receives a paycheck, it's because of the grace of the boss. I kind of like that scenario. Wouldn't it be cool if you just believed for a paycheck and it showed up in your account? Did you go to work this week? No, I just believed I'd get one. And it shows up. But that's what he's saying in a theological sense. I believe, therefore, I'm credited. But now don't misunderstand. James 2 is very clear that our faith is proven by what we do. It's not by works that we can boast. Church, that's why we worship. And I hope every time you come into the sanctuary, you have this understanding. God, I've done nothing and you've done everything. Therefore, I'm going to worship you today. And not just on Sundays, on every day when you get up. God, you've given me everything I have this morning. I'm going to serve you today. God, you've given me this home. You've given me this family. You've given me this vehicle. You've given me this job. You've given me the clothes on my back. You've given me all I have. God, it's all you. And one day I'm going to see you face to face. What then do I have to worry about? Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's what fuels us, church. The fact that he did it all. There's no room for us to boast. It says that God justifies the ungodly. What do you mean? He declares righteous the ungodly? Well, yeah, because you see, there's nobody godly to justify. We're all ungodly. So simply by faith, we respond to him and God says, you're justified. Boom, legally declared. Now we work it out. But one day it'll be complete. You know what this means for you today? Your sins are not held against you. You don't have to feel condemnation. And I know some of us do. I know some of us feel the condemnation of our behavior. But Pastor, you don't understand. I struggle in this area. And it seems like I've asked Jesus to forgive me like 40 million times. And I'm still struggling with it. I feel so guilty. I feel so broken. I feel so shameful. I feel like I've let God down. I feel like, can he ever love me? Can he ever forgive me? That's condemnation. That's not from God. We're going to get there in chapter 8. God says, I have declared you righteous. No matter what you've done, no matter what you do after, I declare you. You are credited with righteousness because you believe in my son, Jesus Christ. And he took your sin and he bore it on the cross. He crucified it and he credited to your account his righteousness. So when God sees you, he doesn't see your accounting. He sees the son's accounting in your, or the son's creditation in your account. And he says, I got nothing against that. I've got nothing against that man. I've got nothing against that woman because he's covered in the blood of my son. This is what Robert's trying to teach in his class on Sunday morning. Our identity. We ought to be the most secure people on the planet because we've been justified. By grace through faith, we've been credited. We ought to walk in so much confidence because we are not guilty. You say that with me? Make it personal. I am not guilty. You got to wear that every day. Every single day. Second bullet, we are saved but by faith, not by law. Big chunk of scripture here, 9 to 17. The key one there is verse 13. It says, it was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be left, that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. Well, I love that word heir in there. That's future riches. I love that. Now, when you get an inheritance when somebody dies, that's not a happy thing. Nobody should be going, oh, I can't wait till he or she dies. Then I get all the money. No, here's the deal. Somebody already died. Therefore, you're an heir. It's not a future death that you're concerned about. It's the past death, the death of Jesus that he already died for you. Therefore, you're an heir. You have that, not through law. Law messes us up. And we really struggle with this one because we didn't have a Jewish law. Okay, none of us, unless you're a Jew, you know, grew up with that law. You got to do this, got to do this, got to do this, got to do this in this traditional fashion. We don't have that. I don't have that in my upbringing. But I can understand how all this works because there's sometimes I place laws on myself or we put religious things that you have to do or don't do in order to make God like you. It's because of faith, Abraham's faith, that he was credited. Paul says, was he credited with righteousness before the law or after the law? Well, before. Like, the law wasn't even into place until Moses. Like, generations passed before the law was there. Well, but there was a covenant. Well, yeah, but Abraham believed God 14 years before the mark of circumcision. And that's just, you know, the weird thing altogether. Moses, I'm going to give you a mark on your body that's going to be the mark that you're mine. Because of your faith, I'm going to give you this mark. A tattoo? No. Earring? No. Necklace? No. Something a little different. It's going to be circumcision. And Abraham's going, are you serious? Yeah. See, the mark came after. I didn't give Sandra a ring and then she loved me. I loved her and she loved me. Then I gave her a ring and she gave me one. Okay, the mark came after the commitment. You follow? And so for the Jews, he's saying, your circumcision isn't getting you the righteousness. Your religion isn't getting you the righteousness. Your traditions aren't getting you the righteousness. You're righteous first because you believed. Then we give you a mark and we don't have to be circumcised. We're circumcised of the heart. Therefore, we obey. Therefore, Abraham entered into this promise. It says the law, it nullifies the promise because nobody can obey it. How many, if the speed limit says 55, you go 60? Yeah, you liars. You're such liars right now. Which just shows that you are in sin and you need God's accredited righteousness in your life. We all do that. If it says 65, we go 70. We know we can fudge. We know we can do that. If the sign says wet paint, we go, is it really? Sign says, don't go near the edge. I wonder how far down that is. And how many have that weird, strange thing when you're up in a high place, do you start thinking, I wonder what it would be like if I jumped? Anybody else get that besides me? It's so weird. I don't know what the brain does. We've got this thing that all law does is bring out the fact that we're messed up. That's all law does. Law just says, you're wrecked. But law doesn't help you get better. That's why it nullifies the promise. See, grace through faith gives us a way to get better. And the blood of Jesus works inside of us in the presence of the Holy Spirit, sets us free so that we're heirs. Heirs means when we receive the kingdom. Just a few days ago, our blessed brother Willis Cox made it to the kingdom. Just short of his 91st birthday. That blessed brother sat in the sanctuary every Sunday. I don't know if he missed a Sunday except when he went on a missions trip. And he still holds the record for the oldest guy I ever took on a missions trip. 80 years old, he's going, I'm going to Africa. And he did awesome. That's a record for those of you that are a little older. See if you can break it. I'm too old. Well, yeah, Willie wasn't too old. And you know what? Willis right now, in reality, not in wish, not in myth, not in fantasy, Will Cox right now, if I were him at least, he's sitting right now going, Peter, dude, what about the rooster crowing three times and all that? You just heard Jesus say it was going to happen. What were you thinking? He's going to David. David, you're a king, man after God's own heart. But couldn't you have looked away? And on and on and on. Samson, you knew she was messing with you, didn't you? I mean, come on. No, this is real. Because in the kingdom, we're heirs with the ones of the past and the ones of the future. Not by law, but by grace through faith. And one day when we pass, we're going to look at those heroes face to face. And we're going to be going, whoa! Dude! Elijah! Elisha! Noah! Adam! Peter! John! James! And then on and on and on. But you know what? The scripture says that we who have the Holy Spirit are greater than those who have gone before. And they're going to go, Lynn, dude, Linda, what was it like? Frank, what was it like? What was it like to have the Holy Spirit in you? Tell me, what was it like? I never knew that. And we're all come together at one great big family of faith. We're heirs. And then last, we're saved by resurrection power, not by human effort. Key verses 23 to 25. The words, it was credited to him, were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him, who raised Jesus from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our righteousness. Our includes the Romans, but it also includes us. Because we are also sons and daughters of Abraham. Not by circumcision, but by faith. We're the same family. Jew, Gentile, doesn't matter. What country you're from, doesn't matter. What denomination you're from, doesn't matter. What matters is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the faith is in his resurrection power. It says, in all hope, or against all hope, Abraham hoped. Against all odds, he placed his life in Abraham's hand, or in God's hands. I love this verse. It says, and God said Abraham believed it without weakening in his faith. And I read back those scriptures. I go, are you sure that's right? Because I remember a few weak moments in Abraham's life. Like lying about his wife being his wife. Or that thing with Hagar. And then David is quoted in the chapter. And he's credited. And I seem to recall David had a couple of struggles. But remember, justified. You get that right? Declared righteous. So God can rightfully say his faith did not waver because he was justified. That's the way God sees him. And that's the way God sees you. Because of Jesus' resurrection, our sins are crucified, buried, never to be raised again. And we can sit here and God says, you are amazing. Your faith has never weakened. And we go, you sure you're watching the right life? And God says, yes, I am. I'm watching the life of my son that has covered you. So I see righteousness. I don't see failure. I see faithfulness. I don't see sin. I see glory. I don't see futility. That's our identity. Saved by grace through faith, and God declares us righteous. Therefore, we are children of our father Abraham. I don't know how many of you struggle with this. Can I just be honest? I struggle with this because I know my faults. I know the times I've let God down. I know the times when it was very clear what he wanted me to do. And like Jonah, I said, I'm not doing it. And of course, you bear the fatherly discipline, which is always worse because he loves us. Church, this passage, this example is to help us to glorify God with everything that's in us because he has declared you righteous. Not by anything you've done, not by any religious practices, not by any human effort, but by faith in the resurrected Christ. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's it. You will struggle. There will be days when you're thinking, oh man, how can God have patience with me? But when you think that, remember, he's not looking at you. He's looking at his crucified son who was resurrected to life. And by virtue of him, you are approved. Stamped, it is finished. And clean before him. Abraham wasn't perfect. Jesus was. David wasn't perfect. Jesus was. You're not perfect. Jesus is. I'm not perfect. Jesus is. And that's all that matters. Therefore, we serve him. I want to pray with us today, but I want us to be able to pray this into our hearts. And Leanne, I know you're not prepared for this, but could you come back up on the guitar? And guys, if you could maybe help so that she could sing while we pray. And I'd like her just to play through those verses, nothing but the blood. Thank you, Peter, for helping. Nothing but the blood. And as she sings, sing along if you want to, but I prefer you pray. And just cast your cares upon him. Cast your failures upon him. Cast your sin upon him. We all got it. We're all in the same boat here. There's nobody going, oh, I'm glad I don't have to do that. I'm good. No, you're not. Because none of us are righteous. But as we hear those words, Lord, it's nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let's just worship him and thank him and appreciate him and honor him and bless him. Because it's only by him that we're here. It's only by him that we have a future and a hope. Only by him can we be secured. Nothing about us. Let's do that together, all right? Let's bow our heads and I'll pray. And Leanne, you can just start whenever you're ready. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for your word today. I thank you for chapter 4 that sets us free. We are heirs because you died. We already get the reward. We already get the inheritance today. And then one day we're going to get the inheritance face to face, the heavenly kingdom. Until then, Lord, we go back and forth and up and down and sideways. We don't want to. We want to just go straight, just grow every day, but we don't. All we like sheep have gone astray and we turn to our own wicked ways. But you have laid the sin of those crazy sheep upon the Son of God who died and buried them, but resurrected to conquer them forever. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us your blood, that we could sit here free, that we could sit here righteous, not condemned, not bound. We are slaves no more. We are free in you. It's all because of the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing, let's worship, let's pray. Well, let's honor Jesus right now. Let's do it. Praise you, Lord. Nothing but your blood. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to your name.
So precious is the
Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Stand together and sing. This is why we cultivate, plant, water, and harvest. To lead people into faith so that Jesus can justify them too. God, I pray for everyone hearing my voice here, outside, online. God, that you would just fill us each day with the blessed truth that we are justified, credited with your righteousness. Because of your grace, and simply because we believe. We thank you for this today, God. We glorify you and thank you. And we give you praise, for it's in the strong, powerful, glorious name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's say our verse together as we go out and enjoy a barbecue, but more so as we go out and give people the gift of this faith. Let's say it together. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. And everybody say, amen. Amen.